CGTV。Martin Zender here. This is the studio against the wall. Now, I usually don't do current events, but I don't think I'm going to be able to help it now because as I'm recording this, it is Monday, April 15th, 2019. I had to think about the year there for a second. And the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris is burning down. As they say in France, Notre Dame. I was there in 1978 when my French club, my senior year in high school, went to Paris. And at the time, I was still 3 years from walking completely away from Catholicism. And at the time, I thought that this was like one of the holiest places on earth. Because like everyone else, I was impressed, like every other Catholic, I should say, I was impressed with the magnificence of the architecture and just the sense. I'm telling you, the Catholics are so good at building up the aura and of making a ceremony of pomp and circumstance and the altar just vibrating with the organ music pumping through the building. I'm sure they had giant speakers to get the organ music going. And just the ancientness of it. It was built in the 1100s, so it's 850 years old. Just the history behind it. It's impressive, but completely impressive, only impressive on an earthly plane. And by walking by perception. Walking by perception, it's an amazing building. The gargoyles, just the Catholics have this down pat. They have this sense of magnificence mixed with a sense of evil and foreboding. What's with the gargoyles at Notre Dame? They're very ugly and they're demonic. And yet they are part of the decoration of this cathedral where people go in and basically shake in their shoes and pee their pants because it's so holy, don't you know? And I was there over Easter time in 1978, and that's the exact feeling I got. You know how I feel about it now. It's a demonic building where the Spirit of God does not dwell. It's the opposite of what I was talking about yesterday. I told you yesterday that I don't feel the Spirit of God dwelling in me, but I know that it's true because God says that it's true. The Spirit of God makes its home in you, says Paul, right? 1 Corinthians 3:16. So there it is. It's a stated fact. I believe a fact. God says it. It's true. Doesn't matter if I feel it or not. And I don't feel it, but that doesn't matter because I don't fly by my feelings. I fly by my instrument. My instrument is the Word of God. But here's this Notre Dame Cathedral, Notre Dame. And Our Lady, haha, that's what it means in French. Notre Dame, Our Notre Dame Lady. Yes, Our Lady. Who? What lady are they talking about? It ain't Lady Gaga. It's Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is venerated by the Catholics, and they named this cathedral after her. Maybe some of the gargoyles are named after her, maybe mother, her father, her relatives, her brothers and sisters. And we're going to name a gargoyle after you. And that's a great honor in the Catholic Church. But what an opposite phenomenon here is that the Spirit of God is absent. Spirit of God, Paul says that God does not live in man-made temples. How could anybody miss that verse? Acts chapter 17. God does not dwell in man-made temples. That seems pretty plain. You got to give it to Paul there. He doesn't really speak that plainly very often, but he sure did there. So God is vacant. God is not in the Notre Dame Cathedral. The hunchback was there for a while. The hunchback, I think he was thrown out because he probably found out that God was the savior of all humanity. And I think they excommunicated him at that point. And he wasn't very good looking. He had a little deformity there from his shoulder blades up. And it was... You can't have that in a place that depends on feeling, on mood. So it's just the opposite. The Spirit of God is not there. That's absent. But what is present is everything else. The feeling, the organ reverberating. Oh my God. And yeah, the priests, and I'll never forget this, and yet I almost did. I remember when we were there in 1978, there was this guy who was standing in a pew, and he had his arms outstretched like this. And apparently he was being crucified, or he was reliving the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And he just stood there with his head down like this, and he didn't move. And we must have been in there for an hour, and the guy did this, and this, and this. And except for his head, he didn't move. He might not even have moved his head. There was a girl with us in Notre Dame. Her name was Lisa Fox. And I think she was a sophomore. I was a senior. She was beautiful. She had this long blonde hair. And my friend Paul, we were staying at the same hotel in the district of Clichy. It was called the Hotel du Progrès. Hotel du Progrès. In the Clichy district. And I remember Paul and I were staying in one room, and Lisa Fox and some other girls were staying in another room, and we actually got a glimpse of Lisa Fox in her nightwear running down the hallway. It's my greatest memory of Paris. But anyway, when we were in Notre Dame Cathedral, Lisa Fox was chewing gum. I told you she was blonde. Well, sorry, that's not fair. She was blonde and 16 years old. So she snapped her gum, and then snap, pop, snap, crackle, pop. There was a Rice Krispie advertisement on steroids. Snap, snap. And I remember arresting that girl. I grabbed her by the shoulders, I think. I said, "Lisa, what are you doing? This is one of the holiest places on earth." I think I actually said that. One of the holiest places on earth. And in my mind, she was defiling it. Little did I realize that the cathedral was defiling us. It was defiling us. It was tricking us into relating the presence of God to moods and feelings and emotions. So we were tricked. We were all of us tricked into thinking that this meant that God was near. When you smelled that incense, God was near. When you heard the organ reverberating, God was near. When you saw this guy hanging as if from a cross like this, God was near. Obviously, the guy was probably mentally deranged, or else he was in a demonic trance. Yes, but Jesus Christ already did that, numbnuts. You don't have to do it. Okay? Jesus Christ did that, so you don't have to. Now you can run around up the Champs-Élysées and do cartwheels and drink at all the famous drinking places where Hemingway drank and James Joyce and Ford Madox Ford and the Impressionists and Gertrude Stein. Yes, you can drink and enjoy life because Jesus Christ did this. You don't have to. So I scolded Lisa Fox. I looked in awe at the man thinking he was being crucified. And all this came back today when I see on YouTube or on my phone the video from the news feed, this cathedral burning down. Now, I don't usually do current events, as I said, but I hope no one is hurt here. They say no one's been killed, but we're early on here. You never know. I hope not. But, I see why people are sad because, I mean, this is a venerable pile. It is an esteemed architectural marvel. But it's also related to God and to the Mother of God, as if God could have a mother. The Mother of God? Does God send his mother a Mother's Day card? The Mother of God. So God came out of Mary's womb? No, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did. There's a big difference between God and the Son of God. Don't want to get on a sidetrack here. So I can see where people are sad. But if it was up to me, the world would be a better place. I mean, I wonder about this. I wonder if this is a taste of what is coming during the tribulation. I have taught for years, you know this from the book of Revelation, that God is going to destroy all the religious institutions of the world, especially the Christian ones. And Catholics are Christians, yes they are. And he is going to destroy the churches, and he is going to kill those who advocate for a religion that has replaced human will for the divine will and has turned grace into a sham, made salvation out to be a deal that you barter between your willingness to accept Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ. It's a deal. It's just the law in sheep's clothing. But God is going to come down in the days of the tribulation, destroy religion. What if this is a foretaste? What if this is an hors d'oeuvre? What if this is the initial skirmish? When I saw, did you see the footage of that spire, the famous Notre Dame spire going down? It reminded me of 9/11. It reminded me of the Twin Towers going down. And isn't this interesting? In the book of Revelation, God is going to destroy man's politics and religion in that order. In that order, from chapters 2 through 11, we see the political deliverance of the earth. It's called the throne section, because the throne has to do with the rule. And then from chapter 11 on in Revelation up till chapter 21, we see the religious deliverance of the earth. It's called the temple section. So throne, temple, politics, and religion. And I find it interesting that on 9/11, our political buildings were taken down. They were shooting for the Capitol. They got the Pentagon. They took the financial center down. The icons of financial security and might of the United States, the Twin Towers, they came down. Now, as we get closer and closer to the start of the tribulation, which again I believe will be in 2021. I'm not saying that for 100% sure, but you know why I think that. Isn't it interesting that maybe God lit a match on Notre Dame, lit a match, and when you see that spire come tumbling down, it's a brief picture of what every church building that dares to claim that it is the house of God, when the Spirit of God makes his home in us, but these churches claim to be the houses of God. What audacity. And to think that the people are reaching out to God, giving God gifts. What? No. God gave us a gift of Jesus Christ. We don't give God any gift. This is outrageous. It's an outrage. And I think God is taking care of business. And I think what you're seeing here is just a tiny foretaste of what is coming on a grand scale with every church, every man-made building that purports to be an honor to God, when every single one of them will be destroyed. Not just one, every single one.